Welcome to the Destiny Youth Podcast. Destiny Youth is the youth ministry of Destiny Church based in Glasgow. Thanks for listening.
This is a story that Jesus is telling as an illustration. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and his children and all that he had for the payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of compassion for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii and seized him and began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me and I will pay you." He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported it to their master, the king, all that had taken place. Then the king summoned him and said, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" In his anger, the master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all of his debt. So also, my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. I'm here to tell you that forgiveness is not optional. But forgiveness is easy in the presence of God. Would you pray with me really quick? Holy Spirit, we just give all of this moment to you. We say you can have the whole room. We ask that these not be my words, but that they be your words. Lord, you know every heart in the room. Would you come in and would you make your word living? Make it go to the right people, in the right tone, and in the right way. In the name of Jesus, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for this time together. In your name we pray, amen. So let's recap what happened in the story. There's a king. One of his servants owes him a debt. Servant comes up. He says, "Please be patient, have compassion." The king has compassion, forgives the debt. Same servant goes out, sees another servant, and then says, "Hey, you owe me money, give me my money." Beats the tar out of him, sends him to prison. And then the king is upset with this guy. He said, "I forgave you, yet you didn't forgive him. So now, to jail with you." And then Jesus compares it. He makes an illustration out of it to what it looks like when we refuse to forgive after we have been forgiven. But forgiveness is hard. Not gonna lie, forgiveness is hard. But why is it so hard? Because people don't deserve it. People mock you, they hurt you, they lie about you, they betray you. People don't deserve it. But hard things become easy with God. It's like going to the gym for the first time. When you first get in there, it's tough. And then you get discouraged. So you're like, I'm not seeing the results that I was wanting. And you won't see the instant results. It doesn't happen. Believe me, I was a personal trainer for a long time. People would come in, they'd do two workouts, and then they would give up because they didn't see the results. You will not see instant justice out of forgiveness. But it's easy when you have a good personal trainer. It's easy when you have someone there saying, "No, don't do that. Do this. You're holding this the wrong way. Do this. Don't eat that, eat this." It becomes much easier when there's someone with you that's supporting you. And that person is Jesus. You have to remember, God is a forgiving God. He's just. He's a God of justice, but he is a forgiving God. You have to remember, he makes all things right. If he didn't do that, he wouldn't be God. He wouldn't be just. He will make all things right, but he is a God of forgiveness. And here's the thing. The moment you stop forgiving is the moment that you stop spiritually growing. And you guys, this is going to get a little heavy in some areas, so we'll take smiling breaks per usual. What is forgiveness? There's two Greek words that I want to focus on in the New Testament for forgiveness. The first one is aphemi, which means to loose or to let go. That's one meaning of forgiveness. The second one is charizomai, which means to benevolently pardon and give or bestow graciously. Those are the two types of forgiveness that we see. Remember those, we'll come back to them. But why do we need forgiveness? What's it for? Sin. Easy answer. Forgiveness is for sin. And who do we need to forgive? Everyone. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Me, your grandma, yeah, little grandma has fallen short. Little grandma has sinned. Pastor Andrew has sinned. Sheldon, Jen, we have all sinned. It's a fact. And what is sin? It's simply a violation of God's standard. That's all it is. God has his standard, and you violate it. You choose to actively go against it. The modern church has dug itself into this nasty hole with not talking about sin. We want everyone to be comfortable. We don't want to address sin. We don't want to talk about sin because, oh, what if they get offended and they leave? When you don't talk about sin and you avoid it, you stop talking about the ways of God. When you stop talking about the ways of God, you stop reading the word. And that's when you can get into some deep trouble. Because as soon as you start tolerating and then accepting sin, it becomes impossible for you to forgive. It becomes impossible. Here's an example. When a church protects the person living in sin and then condemns the person who has pointed it out in a loving way. They say, how dare you? How dare you tell them that they're wrong? And then they hate the person who is trying to tell the truth. Say, no, like you're telling that person that this is okay when it's not. How dare you? We're supposed to be accepting of everything and loving. Yeah, I love that person. I don't want to see this sin destroy them. Oh, you're a bigot. I'll never forgive you. All it is they hold on to these offenses. They get offended at somebody for telling the truth because they're using tolerance as an excuse to hide the fact that they're a coward. They're hiding the fact that they want to be comfortable at all times. They don't want to address anything that's wrong. But once you get into that place, not only can you not forgive sin, you can't forgive because you're offended. You're offended by the truth. And offense is it's an issue. It's an issue with my generation, with your generation. People get offended so easily at the stupidest things. Things that aren't even real. That we'll all get offended. And then we'll call it trauma. Legitimately. Like, have you ever been around a person who, and I'm not downplaying trauma, I'm downplaying somebody acting foolishly and then saying, oh, I have trauma. It's like this. My boss yelled at me because I was late for work for the sixth day in a row, and now I have trauma. No, you don't. You were late for work. Or somebody on Instagram left a mean comment saying that they disagree with my lifestyle, and now I have trauma. No, you don't. My TikTok. No one's affirming me. It's ridiculous, man. Or it's like, I'll tell you what the problem is with my generation. Oh, I'm offended at something that happened halfway across the globe, and now I need to get online and I need to post about it, because if I don't have anything to be offended at, I'm just not going to be happy, and then that means I'm going to have to get a personality. Oh. The level of people using offense as their entire personality is insane. Also, when you're offended at something and then you go and post about it, great, now what?
I can't believe this happened. This is outrageous. Eh.
What are you contributing to? This is especially bad for Christians. With non-Christians, it's just, I want to make sure that my friends think I'm a good person. This is bad, so I'll post about that. Look at how moral I am. But with Christians, you have no excuse. When you get offended at something, and the first thing that you do is run to your phone instead of run to God and attack whatever you're offended at in prayer, there's something wrong. Like I said, we were going to get a little intense. So we'll take a laughing break. I want you to look at this video. This is from a show that I really love called Parks and Rec. And it illustrates beautifully what some offended people look like nowadays.
Hey, Ron, were you trying to get a 7? Because if you were, you did a great job.
I am very angry right now.
Oh!
What?
My finger was in there. Ron crushed my finger. I think it might be broken.
Are you a female bird?
It was an accident.
Oh my God, it's already swollen.
Tom, my God, do you have any pride at all?
This is on purpose. You're jealous of my gift.
Okay, come on, Tweety Bird. Let's get you some ice. Come on.
It's funny, but it's so true.
Oh! How can I make this about me?
When people do that and call it trauma, not only does it negate the actual trauma that some people have gone through, but it makes you ever more unable to forgive because you choose to hold on to it. Some small offense that you hold on to and you refuse to let go of. And sin is sin. Like I said, we all have it. And it doesn't matter what the government says or what laws are passed or what society deems as good. What God says is sin is sin. Democracy is an illusion. We all live under a monarchy. The whole universe is a monarchy, and it belongs to Jesus. Every single one of us will have to answer to him for every single thing, which is what makes forgiveness so incredible. None of us could get rid of our sin. And Jesus comes, does the unthinkable, forgives us. In Hebrews 10:11, it says, "And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins." Remember, they would offer up an animal, they would transfer the sins onto the animal, and the animal would die. The price of sin was death. Yet this says, repeatedly, with the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins, not fully. And continuing in verse 12, "But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God." Skipping down to verse 17, "Then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer an offering for sin." Remember the two Greek forgiveness words? Jesus charizomaid your sin. He benevolently removed it. He canceled your debt. He took it away. And then he blessed you. He gave to you. And it's because of that that we forgive. And Jesus even told us when we pray, give us the example of the Lord's Prayer. The disciples were like, "Jesus, how do we pray?" And then he goes through it. But Matthew 6:12, a part of that prayer, "And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." It doesn't say, "Forgive us our debts and then we'll forgive our debtors." It doesn't say, "Forgive us our debts, and then I'll think about forgiving my debtors." Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Then in Mark 11:25, it says, "And whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, forgive, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses." So what's Jesus saying here? He says, when you pray, what is prayer? Talking with God. What is talking with God? A daily encounter. When you're in your daily encounter with God, you should be forgiving. I am forgiving all the time. There's a lot of stupid people in the world. I'm one of them, and I am forgiving all the time. When you bring it into your daily encounter with Jesus, when you're in his presence, you find forgiveness for yourself, but you also are able to take that forgiveness and then apply it to other people in your life. You're able to release the forgiveness that you have received. And this is usually the part where everyone goes, "Oh, but Pastor Matt, I have forgiven." Have you? When that certain person's name comes up, do you just seethe with hatred? When that certain person walks into the room, do you think about just punching them in the face? That's me, like, all the time. Have you truly forgiven them? I want to look back at Matthew 18 before Jesus tells the story of the king. I love Peter, man. Peter comes up to Jesus and says, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I have to forgive him? Seven times?" I love Peter. He's already throwing out numbers that he thinks are possible. Just like, if he does it seven times, and then on the eighth time, do I have your permission to just like... Then Jesus says, "I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. And then in other translations, it says 70 times seven, which is 490. That seems kind of overkill. 490 times. But how many times have you had to ask God to forgive you for the same thing? And believe me, I've got like the high score on the screen of asking for forgiveness for the same thing over and over and over. How many times? This is really important right here. It is 100% okay to forgive and set boundaries. forgiveness does not mean like, hey, I forgive you, hit me again. I forgive you, that makes what you did A-okay. It doesn't mean that. This is where the other Greek word, aphiemi, to let go. There's a forgiveness of letting go. There's a forgiveness of letting go and cutting off. God does not want you in a toxic relationship. God does not want you being abused by somebody. Just because you forgive somebody does not mean they have permission to manipulate you. It doesn't mean they have permission to keep doing the same bad thing to you over and over. Forgiveness with boundaries is 100% okay. And sometimes with letting go, that forgiveness isn't for that person necessarily. That forgiveness is for you. Because the longer you hold on to that hatred, the longer you hold on to not letting go, the more and more it hurts you. And this is something that I had to work through. Sometimes when you forgive, you will never receive an apology. Not a single apology, not even an I'm sorry, not maybe it was bad, nothing. And that is when you have to aphiemi, let go. And God has two sides of justice. One side is retribution. That's judgment. That's punishment. If God didn't do that, he wouldn't be good. But then there's the other side, which is restorative. There's a justice that's restorative. But that restoration has to come through repentance. If there's no repentance, then believe me, there will be retribution for that sin, either now in this life, most definitely in the next. If there is no repentance, that's the side I like. That's the side I jive with. It's the other side that I've had a major issue with in my life, the restorative side. But the repentance and the restoration also goes for you. If you ask Jesus for forgiveness, it's like, God, I'm sorry, and you just keep doing the same thing over and over and over with no repentance. John 14, 15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. There's a difference between someone continually sinning and living in sin and just accepting it and somebody who sins but then stops and says, oh, God, I'm sorry, I messed up. The difference between those two people, one loves the sin more than God, one hates the sin. Paul says, I do what I hate. Because this sin is not a part of my spirit. This sin is the flesh. You'll still make mistakes. You'll still sin. That forgiveness and that restoration is there for you when you come in with repentance because you hate the wrong that you're doing. It's already hard to forgive, but sometimes there's really, really big, terrible, evil things that are exceptionally hard to forgive. When someone abuses you, when someone betrays you, when someone lies about you. And you might be one of those people like I was where it's like, I can't forgive that. I'm not ready to. It's a journey. It's a process. It's not a one-time thing. Jesus was violated. Jesus was betrayed. Jesus was beat, spat on, insulted, lied about, He knows every single thing that you've gone through. He knows. And he understands. He understands where you're at. But he has something better for you. And he is so patient. He was so patient with me, and he will be patient with you. Oftentimes when we look at it, we think, if I forgive, then it means that what happened was okay. That's not forgiveness. If I forgive, then that means I can never be angry about it again. You can forgive and still be angry, trust me. That's why it's a process. But you have to start somewhere. For me, it was, God, I don't know how I'm going to do this. But I forgive this person because I know that you're a good God. And I know that you will set it straight. I forgive this person. 2 days later, hey, did you forgive that person? Yes! Go back and forgive them again. It's not a one and done. It takes time. And it takes his presence. In Matthew 6:14, says, for if I forgive others, or if you forgive others for their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. This is what that means. Your unforgiveness will affect your relationship with God. It will 100% affect your relationship with God. And Jesus' whole mission was forgiveness. That is what he came to do. And if you can't do that, if you can't follow that, if you can't at least try, it's going to affect your relationship. Jesus, when he was enduring, hanging on that cross, allowing every single sin to flood in, taking every single sin upon himself. In Luke 23, verse 34, listen to this and really let the words come in. In fact, just close your eyes really quick with me. Picture Jesus up on that cross. The Bible says he was beaten so badly that he didn't even look human. He has open wounds. He's up there being humiliated by people, spitting on him, throwing stuff at him, mocking him. The same people he came to save are doing this to him. The people he's trying to help are doing this to him. And then Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus had every single excuse to be hateful. He had every excuse to be bitter and angry. He even had an excuse to just destroy the earth and everyone on it, start over. But he didn't. That is God's forgiveness. It doesn't make sense to us. And it can't make sense to us. And when you say, I can never forgive that person for that, you are 100% right. You can never forgive that person for that sin. Only Jesus can. You have to forgive the person. That's why it's so hard to forgive. You're trying to figure out, how am I supposed to forgive this sin when that is not your job? It's hard to try to do Jesus' job. He forgives the sin. He forgives the action. You forgive the person. I want to go back to the story that I began with as I'm wrapping up. In the story, the first servant comes to the king and he owes 10,000 talents. In today's money, that would be about 60 million pounds. He owes 60 million pounds. And the king has compassion on him. Completely wipes it away. Something that probably no one in this room, probably all of us combined, could not earn within a lifetime. Wiped away in an instant. And then that servant leaves. And he goes and sees another servant who owes 100 denarii. In today's money, that's 20,000 pounds. The first servant is forgiven of a debt of 60 million pounds, but demands payment from the servant who owed him 20,000. But there's something you need to catch in this story when Jesus is telling it. He says, the first servant left the king's presence and then went out and found the other servant. Do you think the first servant's reaction might have been a little bit different if he were still in the presence of the king? Do you think he would have had more compassion in his heart for the other servant had he not left the king who just wiped out all of that debt? If you cannot forgive, it's because you have forgotten what you've been forgiven of. It's hard to forgive, but it is easy to forgive in the presence of God. So my question to you is, who do you need to forgive? It could be a family member. It could be a friend. It could be some offense that you picked up from someone you don't even know online. Who do you need to forgive? Some of you, I guarantee you, you've felt this way because I was there. You love God. You want to know more about him. You want to be in a deeper relationship with him. And you feel like you get to this moment of just plateau. Like, I can't go anywhere. I can't grow spiritually. It's because you won't forgive. Trust me. I was there for a long time. The moment you stop forgiving is the moment you stop spiritually growing. So what I want us to do in this moment is, I want you to just ask the Holy Spirit who you need to forgive. And listen, it does not need to be this massive, I'm going to forgive everyone that's ever offended me moment, or I'm going to start with the worst one. Ask the Holy Spirit who you need to forgive and just start with where he tells you. So all you have to do is just start and then ask him to teach you how to forgive like him.